Blog Talk Radio.
Evening. This is your host, one of your hosts for the hour, Pastor Armstrong. Pastor Miller will not be with us today. She may be listening, but she's traveling. And we are waiting on Apostle McIntyre. And while we're waiting, let us pray. Almighty, everlasting Creator, we come to you this evening, thanking you and praising you for your word. For by complete faith, we gather here on a Friday evening at 6:30 man's time to share your word with the people across the earth. And we just give you the thanks and give you the praise for the way that you have retaken the airways from the enemy. And you're using it in a way that performs miracles. But if only one or two persons hear the word and accept the word and take the word forth, in Russia, in Brazil, in Mexico, in Canada, in South Africa, West Africa, in Japan, and we can go on in India. Those are the places we have listeners in all over Europe. We just thank you, Almighty God, for the work that you've done through us. And you have empowered us with the power and authority to take your word around the earth. And then I probably left somebody out, and I didn't intend to. But you know who's listening. Let your Holy Spirit reach out and touch them on this time, not just today, but always. In the name of your beloved Son, who commanded that we take the gospel message to the four corners of the earth. And that is what we have done with this internet radio station. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, good evening, Apostle McIntyre. How are you?
Good evening, Apostle Armstrong. How are you?
I am fantastic, and you are fantastic, and our listeners are fantastic because they chose to listen and participate with us in the spoken word.
Amen.
Tonight,
Amen. We
have a great topic, and this topic came about as a result of prayer and fasting. I do a program on Tuesday night for men with a minister out of Lenore. And we were not really lamenting, but we were talking about there's a lot of issues we've been hearing lately. It's dealing with the family.
Mm-hmm.
And we had started taking a look at that. And what happened was, we started to question whether or not a program dealing with families would be more appropriate than one that's dealing with just men. And we agreed that we would pray and fast and wait to hear what the Holy Spirit has to say. Well, one thing early this morning in my prayer and fast time, that the family knows best. The family knows best. So that's going to be the topic for the new program that will air on Tuesday night. And Brother Dwayne, him and his wife, he had talked to his wife about being a co-host. So it sounds like they're going to be the host for the program on Tuesday night at 8:30. And today we're going to do a dry run. The family knows best. And so first we have to look at who created. It was God created male and female, and his image, he created them. And then we talk about what is the purpose of the family. And we look at that question. We don't ask it by the understanding that we get from the world. We ask, what is the Bible said? The family as found in the Bible, what is it? And when we look at it, we see a natural or physical explanation, procreation. That's the physical side. Then we look at it, we see a spiritual. And I put slash theologian or theology. And because I put that there because we, as God of our understanding, and a lot of people understanding of God is a little different because a lot of them don't use the same information. And then people who use the same information, their understanding of God may be different because their relationship with God. And if we look at people who created family, and God created it, and he introduced it in the beginning in Genesis chapter 1, verse 28, and God blessed them and said to them, male and female now, by saying, be fruitful and increase in numbers, fill the earth and subdue it, rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and every living creature that moves on the ground. Now, whenever you read that, he made certain statements that he said what? Who did he say this to? He said it to male and female. Be fruitful and increase in numbers. Now, if we just stop there, put a period there, what is that saying about what man and woman is supposed to be about? Fruitful. Or some version says, mother plot, be fruitful and mother plot. Sound like he's saying that we need to reproduce ourselves. And we, from a biological perspective, and we all took biology or science in school, and I had biology in college, a couple of classes in biology, and the DNA and all of that stuff we discussed. But so whenever we look at where we sort of it deviated, when we're going to get to that, what a family consists of in terms of being able to procreate, being able to be fruitful and increase in numbers. And, whenever we look at it, the society says marry. God talked about a monogamous relationship. See, one of the reasons I say that we have so many marriages falling apart is that they didn't start out right. I know there was a couple that I'm during evaluation time, and we had to sit and talk about things. And one of the things that came out, now he belongs to me because I got the paper. Well, now we had to have a conversation about that. What does that mean? Where's the relationship? There was no, the relationship was based on the state. The state says that if you have a piece of paper, then you're married, not that married, it's that that person belongs to you, that you have some authority or control over that person. So to me, that's sort of one of the avenues that things start going awry, and the relationship sort of got pushed to the side. And one thing that I always said was that arranged marriages are not bad. I think that whenever you arrange one, what happens? Then somebody brings two people together, and those two people have to develop a relationship. They are forced to sit and develop that relationship with each other, because it's not like I can marry you today and divorce you tomorrow. And that's the attitude that people have had that got married. If it don't go right, I can always get a divorce. But that's not what the word says. And there's one flesh, a union through marriage, and that's Genesis 2:24. And when we really, really think about it, when we really think about it, what are we talking about? And if we got a male and a female are necessary, and they are in a relationship, and that relationship, out of that relationship, produces offspring. Okay. So now we got a man, we got a woman, and now we got an offspring. And what is the relationship that between the three of them? Now we have added. The relationship changes slightly. First it was the man and the woman and God. Now it's the man, woman, and child and God. So each time you add something to this, the relationship expands. So, and it gives the responsibility that goes along with that expand. And we then, you have responsibility for raising a child, something that you produce, the two of you, and you have that commitment to do that. Because, see, the first commandment that God gave to Adam and Eve pertained to their potential for parenthood as husband and wife. But, see, the world has got everything all messed around now. And so this program proclaimed that marriage is between what? A man and a woman. And that is what God ordained, and that the family is the central point for in God's creation. And then we further declare that God has commanded that the sacred powers of procreation are to be employed between man and woman. And, excuse me, 1 second, please. Okay. And then we ask the question, what is the responsibility of the parent to the children. You see, first, let's say, what is the responsibility of the father? The father is supposed to preside over their families and love the way that God provides and presides over them. And whenever we look at it that way, we find we have a lot less domestic violence and other types of physical problems that generates, and it's supposed to provide for their physical and spiritual needs and teach them to love. And how do you say, okay, how does he do this? By example. One of the things that I learned in my psychology, sociology classes, children do what they see. Children do what they see. And see, whenever you carry yourself in a way, then that's why there's a lot of where you acting just like your father. Of course, that's all that person thought. That's the only male figure that person saw. And as a result of that, he began to adopt certain habits and traits that of the father. And then mother's primary responsibility is to nurture their children. And that's sort of the way that the new program is going to roll out. And we will begin to put things back in its rightful order, as opposed of it continuing on its downward slide. If we don't do anything, nothing's going to change. It's going to keep going. And what we need to be doing is lining up with the behavior of the family from the word. And see, my whole thing about family, everything begins in the family. Everything. But we got so now that the family, the church is responsible for developing and incorporating the moral spiritual values into the children. The school is, and now they have the responsibility to educate them. And you can go on the various institutions and the family, what is the family responsible? What do they do? And that's that's one of the reasons that we're on the slippery slope that we're on now. It doesn't even have to procreate. I mean, I know I'm going to get myself in trouble, but that's okay. Because biologically, my science tells me straight up that it takes a man and woman to procreate. So anybody got a problem with that? I'm sorry. Don't even write me. Don't call me. I'm not going to dignify any comments that you have that's against that with a response. Now I got myself in trouble, Pastor McIntyre. You got to bail me out.
I'm sitting here and know you're doing a wonderful job. And also, I totally and completely agree. The church has got to get back to the mandate. We've got to get back to the B-I-B-L-E. We have allowed so much of the world to seep over into the church in the way we do things, the way we think about things. And I love when you said, if you want to know what something is meant to be, look at it from creation. And in Genesis, God created the male and female. But as you know now, they're calling everything family now. They've gotten so far away from the word of God. I was thinking the other day, And we always make this statement, so many people, God is too wise to make a mistake. Well, let's qualify that statement. Now, if the God of the universe make this world, all the people that's in it, every mountain, every valley, every ocean, winter on one side, summer on the other one, daylight in here, 2 or 3 hours behind here, and this world is rotating on its axles. He placed the sun the distance between Earth and the sun so we wouldn't burn up. So much distance between the moon and the Earth so we would not freeze to death. And then the seasons changed. Okay, now if he was wise enough to do all that, how could he put a female in a male body and a male in a female body? See, we rejoice over those things that we do. We keep the law over the things that suit us. But it's time, and when you said you're in trouble, you ain't in no trouble. You're in trouble, I'm in trouble with you. Because the foundation of anything, it will determine whether that building will stand or not. Our foundation is the Word of God. So many people are trying to change the Word of God. They're trying to do this thing called life, called marriage, called parenting, called family, without God. Now, God has given us specific blueprint, specific information of what he deemed marriage. When he said in Genesis, it's not good for man to be alone, he said, I will make him a helpmate, a suitable, one that will fit, a suitable helpmate for him. And so he put him to sleep and took a rib from his side and made a woman. That is the original blueprint for marriage, and it's never going to change. I don't care how many laws change. I don't care what they pass in the Congress, in the Senate. I don't care how many celebrities get on TV. I don't care how many pastors are going against the word and say, well, you choose who you love. You know, nobody can tell you who you can love. Your Creator has the right to tell you. Because God made a family because he wanted to see himself visibly represented in the earth. That's why he made a family. God is a God of love, and love wants to be trusted, and love wants to be chosen. Love has to have something to give itself to. God did not create man so he would have someone to order around. God created man because he wanted relationship. And God knew what would help reproduce man in the earth. Even if two women get together, you know, they still got to have the sperm of a man. Or if two men get together,
right,
they got to have the egg from a woman. So it would just stand
That's
to reason
right.
that no matter how we try to change it or alter it, it doesn't matter that, well, what, in over 20, how many hours now, we'll be stepping over with the help of the Lord into the year 2023. But Genesis will stay the same. Its blueprint for marriage will stay the same. And see, the issue is that we have so many compromising believers. We've got people, you know that's not right. You know that that's not God's will. You know that that's an abomination. And I tell you, I see people celebrating, you know, the same sex getting married. Now, I don't hate them. I don't hate them. God love them, and so do I. But that is against the will of God. Just like lying, stealing, cheating, any of those things that God had told us not to do. So we're trying to make a family out of something God did not create. Well, if God didn't create it, it doesn't have his blessing. So all you're going to get is further and further away from the truth, further and further away. Man's mind without God is so perverted. Apostle Armstrong, you think you're in trouble. I'm really getting ready to go out there. It's going to be soon. People are going to be wanting to marry the animals. man's mind left to itself is nothing but perversion. I mean, more and more that you give yourself over to perverted thinking and thoughts and all this stuff on the internet and porn and all this stuff, and it takes you away from the biblical principles of God. And as believers now, I'm not shocked when I hear unbelievers are doing all these things. I'm not, because that's their nature. But we've got the nature of the Lord Jesus Christ on the inside of us. And his nature will only produce or recreate or reduplicate what's in him. So if it's not in him, it's not blessed by him, it's not right by him. And people, no. If the word says it's wrong, it's wrong. The word says it's right, it's right. A home, he said, I know Abraham. He's going to command his house after me. He's going to raise his children after me. And that's what God is wanting. He's wanting his men and his women to stand up once again and say that God had put us together. And after the fall, woman fell, but after Jesus came, God put her back up on the same plane with man. That's why he said there's neither Jew nor Greek, there's neither male nor female. He put us all back, one in Christ. Now, there are different elements of responsibility in the home, but a marriage that God, see, this will get me in trouble too, but I'm with you now. I'm with God all the way. A marriage that is blessed and honored by God is a man and a woman. Children are a blessing, but children produced outside of marriage is wrong. It's wrong. It's not the way. They're not cursed or anything. You know, some people want to take that the other way. Children are still precious. But, you know, God has set up boundaries, and those boundaries are to make our lives beautiful. Those boundaries are to bless us. Those boundaries are to protect us. And so the way God set it up, male and female, everyone have her own husband, and every husband have his own wife, and you have your children, you know. And I look at now, I know a couple now, and they're divorced, and the man, they just using that child as a pawn. Yeah, I'll hurt you, and I won't let you see him. And that child's life is, I pray so for that child, because the child is so torn. He loves mama and daddy. And mama get mad, well, I ain't going to let you see daddy. Or daddy gets mad, I won't let you see mama. You know, instead of, it hurts the spouse, but it does more damage to the child. And I think we just need to get back to the way God has set it up. And the only marriage, and I'm with you, I can stand, I'm like you, don't write me, don't call, I ain't answering any of them either. The only marriage recognized by God, the only family, now, there are families like the father has passed away or the father left and now you got the mom and the children. That's a different scenario. You know, we have different things that happen like that. But I'm saying from the beginning, and we got to do it God's way in order to get God's blessing on it. It's just not going to work any way, because God placed in the man certain traits and things. He placed inside of the woman certain nurturing traits. You put those traits together, you got a happy child. You got a well-balanced, you got enough of soft, enough of sternness to, have that child grow up. But now you got so many different ways now. I'm serious. It's amazing that our children are doing as well as they're doing.
Now, that is true. I'm at the position at this point is that I know people now run around talking about broken families, broken homes, and all that came from a situation where there was no man in the house. But I'm 77. 77. Mm-hmm. And I can chart the change that's taken place. When I was a kid, your uncle was your daddy if it came to that. Uncle mm-hmm. John, who won't even relate it to you in the community, was your daddy,
mm-hmm.
if it came to that. And
mm-hmm.
they could discipline you.
Yeah.
They could tell you that you, like this gentleman told me, he told me, he called me one Sunday morning. He said, "Willie, I want to talk to you."
Mm-hmm.
I said, he said, "I've been hearing things about you. And you know, teenager, we ain't going to admit nothing."
Oh,
dead.
Yeah. Oh,
so I go over there to hear what he had to say. Do you know,
uh-huh.
he was one of the elders in the church. You know what he told me?
Mm-hmm.
"Willie, you need to check yourself. You need to check yourself." That did more good than if he would have told me I'm going to die and go to hell if I keep doing what I'm doing.
Yeah.
And I didn't find out, that was in 1962, 63, and I didn't find
mm-hmm.
out what I had done until about 20 years later.
Okay.
If you hung out with us and didn't drink, we poured beer
yeah.
on you. We poured it on you. And that's what I had
okay.
said to his son that night. And his son
okay.
went home. He had to tell why he was smelling like booze.
Uh-huh.
And the father came to me that Sunday morning, and he
mm-hmm.
confronted me the same
yeah.
way that Jesus did Peter. When
yeah.
Peter was walking on that water and he started to sink,
yeah.
Jesus then jumped on him and beat him up, beat him on down
yeah.
in the water. He stuck his hands out and told him
yeah.
what his situation
yeah.
was, his faith. He had a little
yeah.
faith. And it was up to Peter to make the correction, just like
yeah.
it was up to me to
mm-hmm.
figure out what it was that I had done and make the correction. So
right.
That was my grandfather's friend who gave me fatherly advice.
Uh-huh.
And I accepted it. And now you
right.
grow up trying to tell some of these young people,
mm-hmm.
trying to get them some fatherly advice. They're about ready
yeah.
to fight you and then
yeah,
cut
shoot.
You out and then go home. Yeah, shoot.
Mm-hmm.
Then go home and tell their parents. And their parents come out wanting to fight you too. So
yes.
the thing is now, family knows best whenever it
yes.
functions the way that the Bible has,
yes.
a way that God has set it up. Because see,
right.
the fact that I accepted what this gentleman said was what my foundation, even
mm-hmm.
though I strayed away from it,
uh-huh.
but teach a child, and what will happen?
Yeah.
You won't depart from it. I had to do 360, 180, rather than come right back
mm-hmm.
to where I was.
Mm-hmm.
But I think if the family, because we prayed morning, we prayed
mm-hmm.
evening, nighttime, we prayed at food time. We all ate together. And
mm-hmm.
it was prayer. So I cannot go along with these people talking about they took prayer out of school. To me, that's
mm-hmm.
a deception that Satan is using, because prayer was taken out of home way before it was taken out of the school.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it wouldn't even would have mattered.
That's right.
The family gave up its responsibility to pray and
mm-hmm.
teach the young people to pray.
Yeah.
Oh, well, they're going to get it when they get to school.
Well,
mm-hmm. I was taught the Lord's Prayer when I was knee-high to a grasshopper.
Mm-hmm.
And whenever you taught that, you might not understand it, what you said, but
yeah.
you were taught it. And
yeah.
and you realize that there is something greater than you, that's outside of you, that's beyond you, that cares for you, and that that wants you. Well, I'll just put it this way. Yes, he's a God of love, but also that God of love discipline us because he's a God of love. If we disobedient, he going to discipline us so that we can get our act together and realize that, I got to change. I can't continue going down this path. If I do, these are the consequences. So it is the family. The family.
Yeah.
And it all comes out. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
I was just saying that whenever we look at, the point I was trying to make is that when we look at life and we happen to look at where we are now, and you realize if it had not been for the family, and you think about the Lord's Prayer, that's the most important prayer that one could give. Our Father, where is he? He make it clear. He's not your biological father. Where is he? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be his name. His name is greater than any name in a human name.
That's right.
All of that, when we think about that, and he gives us our daily bread, that tells us we, if he had not created the earth and put everything in the earth, we wouldn't be able to raise any food. He put the seeds in the earth. So, he gave us our daily bread when we stop and think about it. And he tells us that there's a method that you can repent.
Yes.
And you have to forgive others in order for God to forgive you.
Yes.
And he tells you that you don't have to be putting up with all this foolishness going on.
Mm-hmm.
He will lead you not into temptation. And it goes on. You know, we used to listen to Amos and Andy. This time of year, Amos.
Amos, my mother's favorite show, Amos and Andy.
Huh?
My mother loved that show, Amos and Andy. This is Ingrid.
Okay, Amos and Andy, well, which one of them always did the Lord's Prayer around this time of year, around Christmas time? One of them always.
I don't know. I don't think it was Kingfish. I know that.
We know it wasn't Kingfish. I think it was, we had Kingfish.
Must have been
Andy. It was Yeah, but that really touched us back then, because he sort of broke it down. At least he said it in a way that it sort of got your attention and let you know that there was something sacred about the words. So, go ahead.
You're right. I can remember growing up, and, you know, we were raised up, like you said, to say the Lord's Prayer, and it wasn't just, they didn't leave it for school. It was eight of us children, and I could see Mama would have all of us, you know, but there was always a baby, but we would all get on our knees out of the bed. And we would all say our prayers. We didn't know what we were saying, but see, those were seeds that were being planted in us.
That's right.
You put stuff out because there was no debate about whether you were going to church or not. That was a part of life. And like you say, our home played such an important part in our foundation. And this is what's lacking in our generation now. We've got so many homes that we cry about, they've taken God out of the schools, We've taken God out of business. We've taken him out of the home, but even more than that, we've
mm-hmm.
even removed him from the
church.
Now, where's the help going to come
sorry.
From? We as parents, we're going to have to get back to a place where we, first of all, get a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to come back to the Word of God. The Word of God is priority. Now, our parents did not know a whole lot, but what they knew
mm-mm.
was solid.
Mm-hmm.
And they stood on and they believed it. You prayed. We never ate dinner without saying our grace. Anytime
That's
anybody
right.
gave us that, we were taught manners. And, you know, now it's so far removed from these generations. And if we don't turn this thing around, and we just don't, you know, really get back in here and really begin to pray and to intercede for our young people, you know, just intercede that, you know, a hunger and a desire for God will once again come back into their heart. And it's going to come
mm-hmm.
with us that are established in the Word, standing up, and when the Bible says, let your yes be yes and your no be no. I mean, it's not
mm-hmm.
just enough, oh, Christ, we got to show them by example. We got to live it. They see
yep,
some
right.
of us, it's just like you said, that gentleman was a deacon in your church. Well, he was living an upright life as far as you knew, and that's why he could talk to you. But you've got so many people now in positions, I mean, even in the church, they're not saved. They don't love God. They're in it for the money. They're in it for the hype. They're in it for the position. They don't really love God's people. And, you know, just anything goes. But you got to go back. And we got to get to the place, born-again believers, Christians, we got to get back to the place where God's word is the standard for our lives. We just allow
mm-hmm.
everything. And we want to put, well, you know, God said we're to love everybody. Well, God loves everybody, but he don't love everything that we do. He said you come to him
right.
as you are, but he loves you too much to allow you to stay that way. He wants to shape you and mold you and make you into his image, and he wants us to live for him so that can reproduce in our children's lives. I'm a pastor, but I want my son to go further than what I did, and I want his children to go further than what he does. And see, that's the way God wants us to do. God wants us to fill this earth with his glory, fill this earth with his presence, fill this earth with his love. And he's given the earth into the hands of man. And so we've got to do it the way God. Some of the things I hear and see, I'm telling you, it just reduces me to tears. A lot of times I see our young men, and, you know, at a time when we were going to church, you had on your little bow tie, you had your little belt on, you were neat, you know, your little shirt and your little dresses. We had what we call little crinoline slips up on them, and you had bows in your hair. And now, you know, just anything is acceptable. You come in, they got these hoodies and hats, pants sagging. Girls got on stuff so tight, men got to fight to try to even keep their mind on God or on the Word. You know, and it's just so far removed. And if we would get back to the place where we bring God in our homes first, we got to welcome him back into, and it's not everybody, but we got to welcome God
mm-hmm.
back into our homes, get that foundation set. And I believe it really will save a generation.
And I would like to say also, Apostle, if I may, I would like to say also, this is the things I wake up to because I'm in my, like you said, 50s. But we had to go to church. We didn't tell them that we didn't want to go to church. We had to go to church. And then I always remember the song we used to sing, Jesus, I never forget what you done for me. Jesus, I never forget how you set me free. So these things are what
mm-hmm.
they're forgetting. But guess what? We got to bring them back into the fold. I'm still telling people, put up your pants. You know better. So that's me.
Yeah.
I'm still a disciplined. And I told him, prayer, we're paying things.
Yeah, the thing is, now, whenever I sit with young people, first thing, I don't tell them how they're going to die and go to hell.
Right.
I sit there with them and I explain to them, okay, I've been there. I've done that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't joy. I had happiness, but happiness is temporary. I did those things, and before it was over with, I was regretting that I did them.
Mm-hmm.
Or I did those things, and I'm looking over my shoulder continuously to see who's looking at me. And the whole thing is, why am I wasting all the energy? And I tell them straight up, I say, you got two choices. You keep doing drugs, selling drugs.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to pay the police. You're going to pay the lawyer. And somebody is going to pay the undertaker. Because you're not going to have any money if you live through this process. Now, you need to sit down and give some thought about what you were doing.
Mm-hmm.
And that wasn't like I was chastising them or anything.
Right.
I was just explaining to them. And they come in, well, I don't know why 5-0 is on my case. What?
Mm-hmm.
And they knew I was a police chaplain. But you know what I tell them? I said, look, why were you on the corner smoking weed? Why didn't you smoke in your house? Why didn't you smoke in the basement? You on the corner smoking weed, Aunt Jane looking out her window, Aunt Jane picking up the phone, calling the precinct, and the captain gets on whoever's over that sector, and that person gonna come out and investigate. And if you act out, he's going to lock you up. Because if he didn't do it, Aunt Jane is going to call back to the captain down to the precinct. The captain going to get in your case again, get in his case again. So you got to remember there are consequences for your behavior. And I tell people, straight up, yeah, I smoke weed, but I didn't smoke in the hood.
Mm-hmm.
I do not want them coming in, kicking the door in, and taking me into jail when I could smoke uptown and I had to worry about nobody kicking no doors in.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, you try to help tell these people, these young people, look, I'm no saint. I done been there.
Mm-hmm.
I've done that. And the reason I didn't get caught is because this. And that helped them to understand, well, maybe they need to change their attitude about what they're doing and how they're doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole point is what I learned from the home was you don't go to jail.
Yeah.
You don't dishonor the name.
That's right.
And if you didn't dishonor the name, that means there are certain things you're going to do and certain things you're not going to do.
Mm-hmm.
And going to jail wasn't one of them.
Mm-hmm.
So you had to sit with these young people and help them to understand that your name is the most important thing that you have.
Indeed.
And some of that, it got through to some of them. A couple of them, one of them I know, went to Morgan, which is the college there in Baltimore. The other one, he became an electrician. And some of the other ones, they were working out in the malls. So the thing is, everybody that's in the hood is not going to stay in the hood. They're just looking for a way out. They're just looking for somebody to take the time to sit with them and listen to what they had to say.
Mm-hmm.
And the young man that went to Morgan, he and I bumped heads. We had a group start out of about 20 or so of them. They got tired of their friends being killed and beat up. And so they came together. This young man, he was gonna take charge, and he was met him at his level in terms of what he would understand, and I let him know that in here these are the rules, and y'all are the one that developed the rules, and that's what you're gonna abide by. And if you don't like that, leave. And if you go home, tell your parents, I will come home with you, and me and your parents will have a conversation.
Mm-hmm.
I had no more problems out of him. He just he just wanted some direction, some guidance.
Mm-hmm.
And see, if I would have sat there and been all nice to him, he would have taken my kindness for weakness, and he would have, and the rest of them would have ran over me. But I reminded him that they wrote down the laws that they were going to be governed by.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. I was the enforcer.
Mm-hmm.
And I did go further. I did tell him, I'll take off my hook. I'm not going to hit you with my hook because I ain't going to jail.
Islands of love.
You can look
that
at,
was love. That was tough love. That was tough love.
They'd have these programs on, you know, on TV about the super nanny and coming in trying to help you to raise your 2-, 3-, and 4-year-old child. That is an indictment. I mean,
it was a super nanny. It would pop your fanny.
Yes, then you know when they're 13 and 14, you can just forget it. You know, I say this all the time. I stay with my mom. I got married when I was 28 years of age. I never lived in an apartment or anything. I lived with my parents. I had 5 younger sisters, and we all lived with my parents. I worked. I had my own car, everything. But it was still yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am. I still helped with
That's
the housework,
right.
the finances, because I honored and I respected my parents. And they raised us up, and I slipped and did things too. I don't paint. I'm like you. I don't paint that picture, no. But I had a great reverence and a respect for them. And when I see things like that, I'm like, are you serious? And I see some of these kids now, their parents tell them they know, and they fall in the floor and have these tantrums. They hit them in the face and all that. Ooh, my fingers just curls up. I said, oh, that's your business, Gwen. I've been like, you're going to make that hard for some teacher. Then you're going to release that child in the school system, and that child is just going to create havoc. He's going to make it so hard for the teachers, for the other students to learn. And then that child is going to think that everybody else is going to treat him like mom and daddy, let you get by with stuff. So he'll never hold a job. Anytime you try
That's
to
right.
discipline, he's going to get in a rage. And like you say, he's either going to end up in one or two places. He's going to end up in prison, or he's going to end up in the cemetery, because nobody put boundaries. God set boundaries for the earth so that the earth would not overflood and all these things. He set boundaries for our lives to keep us safe. And the family institution is supposed to be one. We set boundaries for the reason why you have a curfew. It's the reason why we don't watch that in this house. It's the reason why we don't use that kind of language. It's the reason why you set boundaries. You cannot lower the standard. You have to raise the standard. Like you say, honor your name. This is going to follow you all your life. A lot of the young girls and things in my church, I said, don't be putting things on TikTok, because one day you're going to be looking for a job, and they go back and search all these social media sites. It's going to be a source
That's
of great
right.
embarrassment for you. God will forgive you, but people won't.
That's right.
And I, well, like you said,
now go ahead.
I was just saying overall.
This is
overall. It's like you said about we had to say yes, ma'am, yes, sir. We opened the doors. We actually demonstrated. Y'all generation demonstrated to me what to do. They're not. They don't have demonstration now. Everybody just is like you said. The daughters and the mothers are looking alike, and everybody look like want to drop it like it's hot, and they drop it like it's hot in hell if they ain't careful.
That's right.
Now, that is true. Whenever you made that point, my mind went back to the 60s and 70s whenever Mohandan, what was the Muslim paper called? Was it Mohandan Speak or something like that? And they had that cartoon. They had the mother with a micro miniskirt on and her little daughter with one on. And, you know, we looked at that and we smiled and we laughed at it, but it is really, really happening now. You got the daughter and the grandmama hanging out together, and you got it's really off the chain, completely off the chain.
Oh, got on false nails and false lashes and weave down to her hiney and
whew. Yep.
Lord help us.
And you say beauty is in the behind the holder, but don't nobody know that God needs, they need to read Psalms. What is that Psalms about a virtuous woman? No, Proverbs 31 about a virtuous woman.
Yeah.
They need to read
Psalm
31, reveal to me my enemy, because this world is a setup. And honey, if you don't be careful, you're going to get set up and messed up for the rest of your life.
That's true.
That is true. Now, one thing I want to say. One thing I want to say.
Not as an overnight guest. not as a weekend guest. Well, on Sunday we're gonna live for God, but the other 6 days we're gonna live just like the world. No, He's got to be God every day. Got to honor His presence in your home every day.
Got to remember that God is not dead, He's alive. Always sing that song.
That's
God is not dead, yes, He's alive. They ain't ready for the spirit of truth. And like you said, even though you might fall down with God, you can get up many a time and let that falling down be on the ground and stay there. But God picks you up and He elevates you.
Yeah.
These people don't know that. We were taught also turn the other cheek. They not turn the other cheek. They getting the gun out first.
Oh, yeah.
Now, that part is true. I did want to just make one quick point, and our time is up. But one quick point is that we are not saying that we're not condemning the state.
Oh.
It is the state's responsibility and the state's right to make laws.
Mm-hmm.
Now, but we who are believers and in the church, we don't have to follow any law that the state makes that doesn't line up with the Word of God. Because if you go all the way back, before there was a president, before there was a king, God was the one that made the laws that we live by, that they live by. And it was man who decided that they wanted that they wanted a governmental structure. And now you see what we got. We got what we got. But those of us who God has chosen us and called us out of the world, we now are standing on that word, and we are the light. And that's what we have to remember, that we are God's light in the world. And we just continue, and people will be drawn unto Him. So I want to thank everybody for participating.
Amen.
And I want to those who are listening via computer, I trust that mm-hmm. you have been blessed. And like I always give out my email address, it's talkingdrums12@gmail.com. And I have been getting a couple of phone calls from, I got calls from China and Russia and a couple of other places. If you don't leave a message, I don't answer it, but if you leave a message, I will get back to you, either by text, by WhatsApp, or by email. So I just, again, I want to acknowledge that, and I acknowledge you, and we do pray for you off air, because
Amen.
God is using this internet radio station to reach out to you. So thank you again. And as you go into the transition from the old to the new, and as you receive the present, the question now, what are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with it? Shalom, shalom, shalom.
Shalom,
shalom.
Shalom.
Peace and blessings.
Happy New Year.
Yes, ma'am. I receive it.